Here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounce.
Hello, beautiful Sunday morning to you. Yes, if we can't encourage you, we sure don't want to discourage you. This is the day the Lord has made, and the Bible said we can and we will rejoice and be glad therein. He made it especially for us, and this is the Lord's day. I hope you're getting ready to go to the house of God and worship the Lord, and the only way to worship Him is in spirit and in truth. Well, let's get right into our service today. And do this song for you right here. I've been doing this for several years, and I like this song. Hope you enjoy it also. It says, come on, let's let down the net.
Why don't you let down your net? Down into the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, He's pulling out the ladder rain. There are some of you diseased and afflicted, and sickness reigns within your mind. You've let the prophets of doubt and unbelief convince you that Jesus don't heal the sick and blind. Why don't you let down your neck? Way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, He's pulling out His ladder rain. Well, your soul is thirsty, you're so battle weary, your body's weak and tired from pain. Well, it's time to get up, stand up on the Bible, He's pouring out His ladder rain. Come on and let down your net, way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, He's pouring. You. Your weapons are carnal, the blessed name of Jesus, it's your power. When he tries to bite your children, remember what old Paul did. Just shake old Satan off into the fire. Come on and let down the net, way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you sit down your net, way down in the water, he's pulling.
Why don't you let down the net? You know, if that song don't kind of light your fire, then your firewood is all wet. I think that that's a great song. It's got a great message, and I think that we need to do that. Let down the net. Trust God. The Bible said all things are possible to them who will believe, and it takes believing to get God to moving on your side, because God is willing, and you've got to be willing to let God do what he has to do. Well, I'm so glad that you're there and I'm listening, and you're listening to me this morning. Good to hear from James and Louise. I understand that her granddaughter, Betty Jo and Ernie's daughter's moving back here, and that'll be good. And they're going to build a home up there next to them. And I appreciate the letter that that Louise sent me, and James is helping them up at the Crimson Church up there. They're building a new fellowship hall. I like to see people working for the Lord, and James is, well, he's been blessed. I'll tell you, if you knew what James had been through and everything, then you'd understand what I'm saying. But James, if you're listening this morning, God has truly blessed you, and you're really doing God's work, so I'm glad for you. I'm glad for Louise. These folks have stood by me down through the years, and Betty Jo and Ernie have stood with me down through the years, and I've got so many people that have stood by me. Without you, this ministry would not be possible. But with your help and your support, we're going to keep on keeping on as long as the Lord says keep going. So let's go right now, listen to this song. And this one says, sin will take you farther. Sin will take you farther than you want to go.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartbreak that a sinner must pay. But God in His goodness had let me return to share with the children the lesson I learned. Sin will take you farther than pleasure and promise, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest of friends. Only a Savior would love me again.
Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I'm on my way to heaven, and my journey is getting sweeter and sweeter every day. Don't forget to pray for Martha. She's holding her own, doing as well as could be expected. But she had her hair fixed this week, and she really looked good. She's been feeling good. She's been acting good. So let's continue to pray for her. Bob and Alicia and Cindy, I hope you're listening this morning. These are also some very good friends of mine. They've been faithful to this radio ministry for many, many years. And that's what's kept us on the air, is people like them. So I appreciate Bob, Alicia, and Cindy. I hope they're doing well. And then let's not forget to pray for Patty and Barry Harper, and then Doris Neely. Good to hear from Doris Neely. And then my good friend, Mrs. Brown. I want to remember her today in prayer. And also, I want to remember Miss Ruby Dixon. I appreciate her, and I appreciate all of you. Ed, Mary Jo Ballins, the older in Peterstown. I just can't say enough about these people and what they mean to us and what they have done for this broadcast, because without your help and your support, this preacher wouldn't be here today. But we've been on here since 86, and that's a long, long time. I was talking with Bill O'Brien the other day, and he said, you're setting the record over there. I said, no, the people are. The people must be enjoying what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. So let's go right now and listen to this song, and this one says, Ride Out Your Storm.
And it seems like forever, and your nights of confusion, they've been oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm
it's got you drifting. But the night's almost over, so ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you, though you may not feel him. Be raging, they'll do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for your answer is coming. Hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm.
Right there with you, so just continue to ride out your storm. We will have storms in this life, but if in this life only we have hope, we're most men miserable. So let's go to the Word of God
John
now. Is your love
21.
Phony?
And we're going to begin to read in verse 15, starting in verse 15, going down through verse 18. Reading verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 18, Verily, verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou griddest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall grid thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Father, this is your word. Honor it. Magnify it. May we receive a blessing from it. May the Spirit and the power of God manifest it in our lives. Speak to our souls, through our ears, and may we hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. And we'll give you praise for it because we ask it in Christ's name. And all the people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I try very cautiously to remind you of each book of the Bible because I think it's very important. Now, if I was writing the Bible, I would write the Old Testament and the New Testament. That would be adequate. Because the Old Testament talks about God being God. But then when you move into the New Testament, it says Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So I think two books would be adequate. The Old Testament and the New Testament. But then again, I didn't write the book. But then again, when you look at the Old Testament, all it is talks about is the coming of Christ. Right? Then when you go into the New Testament, all of a sudden, Christ is here. That's what the New Testament is all about. But then when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, I think it's very good that you will look at the theme of what they're writing about. Now, the book of Matthew begins with the genealogy, okay? That is the history of the coming Christ. And it begins like that. It begins with the birth of Christ. So therefore, Matthew writes about the coming Messiah. And then he writes that the Messiah is here. Well, now when you read in Mark's Gospel, which is believed to be the authentic writings of the New Testament, a lot of the Bible scholars would tell you that Mark was to be the one that was most authentic. Matthew was a copycat. Luke was a copycat. But John, and this has got to be pointed out because you'll miss the whole thrust of the message. John was a person that didn't copy from neither one of them. John wrote it like it was. John wrote it as it is. He wrote about Christ. He wrote about the love of Christ. But then when you note in the Gospel of John, it's a love chapter. You remember the favorite verse that we quote so many times? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So John is the lover of the New Testament. He writes about the love of Christ. He writes about the love of God. He writes how it ought to be and how it should be and how it must be. So this morning you've got to see that, to see the message that I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach on phony love. I'm going to preach on love that is not real. I'm going to preach on love that only acts like it loves. I'm going to preach on pretending that we love. And in this passage of Scripture, that's what it's all about. You notice many things were said in the Scripture, but the thrust of the message was this. Peter, do you love me? That was a simple theme and a simple message. Peter, do you love me? But you got to note something happened here. It's after the crucifixion. Jesus had already been crucified. Jesus had been seen by many people. But the Bible said that this time that Peter and all the disciples were out in a boat and they were fishing. When all of a sudden someone was standing on the seashore. And that someone was fixing breakfast. They were boiling fish and baking bread. And Peter and the disciples saw that. And when they looked on the shore, and all of a sudden they realized it was Jesus. And the Bible said that Peter, being naked, according to the Bible, he wrapped himself in his fishing garment and he swam ashore. And Jesus had the breakfast ready and they sat down to eat. Now, I want you to notice how Jesus speaks to us in a personal manner about our own personal love toward Christ. He did not say, Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That was a very personal contact with Peter. But then again, he had a reason for doing it like that. He wanted to reach the personality of Peter. He wanted to reach right down into the heart and soul of Peter and ask him the most important question of his life. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Hey, that's an important question. Martha and I have a good habit. Oh, I have a lot of bad ones. Martha probably has a lot of bad ones too. We're not a perfect marriage, okay? But there's something that we do every time we talk with each other on the phone. We always hang up with this, I love you. And she hangs up with, I love you. But then again, that is a very important I love you in our life. Because I'm always reminded, this may be the very last time I get to say I love you. Because it's very important. You know, a lot of people, when they pass from this life, they say, well, you know, if I had one more opportunity, what I would say to that person is, I love you. I do a recitation call. If this was the last day of your life, would you love to say, oh, I love you? It's very important. It's very personal. And Jesus said, Simon, a son of Jonas, do you love me? Well, Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. But you see what is going to happen here is a lot of times we do things that cause God to doubt our love. You remember, let's go back just a little bit farther now. Let's go back and find out what really brought this on anyhow. Why is Jesus so interested in hearing Peter say, Lord, you know I love you? Well, if you will go back just a little bit farther, you will find that Jesus is talking about the crucifixion. And Jesus is saying, now fellas, I've got to go to Jerusalem. There I will be crucified. I will die. I will go into the tomb. And third day I will raise again. Peter made a statement. He said, Lord, if you die, I'm going to die with you. You remember that? When Jesus turned to Peter and said, wait a minute, Peter. Before the cock crows, thou wilt deny me three times. And now, notice the picture is turned. Jonas, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? You see what happened? That trust was broken. That trust between Peter and Jesus was broken. You see, once that love and that trust had been broken, can God trust us anymore? Hello, you still out there? You see where we're coming to? Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Then why did you deny me the three times? Because Peter broke the trust between him and God. And a lot of times we do the same thing. I had a fellow come to me one time, and he wanted to be a member of our church, and I liked him ever, got his membership. Arthur will amen this. He said to me, I want to be a member of your church. And I forgot to take him in the church. Another time he was to be taken in, I forgot it again. Finally, he come to me and he said, are you going to take me into your church or are you not? I said, well, yeah, I'm going to take you into the church. And guess what? Service is just about over. And Martha said, wait a minute, you forgot something. I said, what is it? She said, you forgot to take Carl in as a member. You remember, Martha? So I brought Carl and I took him in as a membership. And he stood there, and he said to me, I said, now, Carl, I've got to ask you these questions. Listen to him very carefully. I said, Carl, are you a Christian? Yes. I said, will you support this church with your attendance? Yes. With your tithes? Yes. Will you support this church and do whatever God calls you to do as a member of this church? He said, yes. Hey, folks, that is a commitment. That is a commitment not to the church, but a commitment to God. When we commit ourselves in membership, we commit ourselves to God. And I said to him, he said to me, whispered to me, he said, now what do you want me to do now that I'm a member? I said, nothing. I said, Carl, you don't have to do nothing. I said, because that is the norm for a lot of memberships. We promise God everything, but give him nothing. Come on, amen. When you break that trust between you and God, brother, it's dangerous, it's deadly. The Bible said it's better than never.
Do you have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? He said, this peace the world cannot give you. This peace I can give you. And the peace of God, Peter said, that surpasses all understanding. So the peace of God will go farther and it'll pass everything else. It'll pass all doubt. It'll pass all the influences you can have, because that peace is a settled peace. And I love to hear Martha sing that. I'm going to take some of her tapes over. They asked me to bring some of them over to the home. They're going to play them. And I'm going to get some of them out and take them over there and let them play them. I tried to get her to sing with me the other day, but she wouldn't sing with me. So you continue to pray for Martha, though. It's a downhill trudge, it seemed like it. But anyhow, I need your prayers, and she needs your prayers. And together we stand, but divided we fall. So today, let's pray together. Father, I'm so glad that I have peace. I have peace with God. I have peace of God. I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all doubts, all hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, His righteousness. And neighbor, your hope can be in Christ Jesus. You can have peace with God this morning. And I'm so glad that God has given me a message of something to believe in. And there's no greater message than something to believe in. You can pull us up on internet now, stbi.org. A lot of people have pulled us up and listen to the internet, and they've enjoyed that. So you pull it up and give us a listen. stbi.org. Well, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Some Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. To Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC 80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.